Betches Media presents At Betches, a podcast hosted by Betches co-founders Aileen Drexler, Jordana Abraham, and Sammy Sage. Before they were business partners, they were close friends who've known each other since elementary school.
On Wednesdays, we wear pink.
Get to know the women who've been making us laugh since 2011.
Who allowed you to take my breath away?
This is At Betches.
This is going to be just like senior year, except for funner.
Hello, and welcome back to the At Betches podcast. I'm Aileen.
I'm Sammy.
And I'm Jordana, and we have a lot to cover. But first, Sammy, you're gone next week, right? Where are you going?
I am out. We are going to Israel. We're going to Tel Aviv, and then we're going to visit Avi's family in Jerusalem, and then we're going to spend a few nights in the desert. So really excited.
What do you mean?
That's fun.
What are you going to do?
Like the tents?
No. Very much not the tents. Like it's just, it's just like, you know, a hotel in the desert. But
we're
not like going to wander, but I am sorry if I made it sound that way.
I thought you were doing some like adventure stuff, like camels or something.
No, we were going to maybe do like a day trip to Jordan, but then the trip is too short to make that work. But yeah, we're going.
Great. Are you going to go to the wall?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you're right there. Well, of course I'm going to go.
Why not go to the wall?
Why not?
Yeah. Right.
Aileen, what were you saying?
When you guys, because we didn't do, Sam, did you go on Birthright?
Yeah.
No, right.
Yeah, I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
You slept in tents, like small tents, right? Like on a sleeping
bag. Huge tents.
It was like one big tent.
You did the Bedouin tent?
Yeah. Yeah, one big ass tent.
We didn't do the Bedouin tents. We did like small tents in like a random camp in the desert. And I was so scared. I was paired up with this girl that like I didn't really even know. And I slept on this like very thin pad. And I was so terrified that I was the only one who drank like a bottle of wine. and then I had to go to the bathroom.
No?
I had to go to the bathroom. And like there was no like porta potty situation. So I was just like, well, I guess I'm drunk. So like I ran to like this dune, not a dune, whatever, this like area where no one can see you. And I'm just like,
what if you have to go number two?
That's what I'm talking about.
I don't remember. I don't actually like remember.
And so I just went and I was like, wow, now I can sleep. And no one knew. And it was in the dark. I was like, I could get like killed by like a fucking
coyote. It was a
coyote.
Scary area. Yeah, I remember that. Like being like kind of in the middle of nowhere.
It was in the middle of nowhere and I was just like shit in the desert.
Do you remember the bathroom situation in the big tent? I don't like really remember.
I think there was a porta potty kind of thing.
I didn't have one.
I think there was, because it was wild. I also went on one with like one big tent.
Yeah, it was like everyone in the tent, everyone sleeps in kind of like a circle, which I agree feels a little bit safer than being
individual tents,
like tent roommates.
I feel like maybe there was like a story and a bonfire. I don't know. I might be making that up.
There's a bonfire.
There was definitely a bonfire with pitas being made on the bonfire.
I don't even remember. I was drunk. The only one.
That was a fun trip.
Yeah.
It's just funny. Like I went right after college, so I didn't appreciate that it's just like 10-day free trip where you just kind of like have fun.
Have to sit through them trying to get you to move there. But yeah.
Yeah. Besides right. that, though, it's just like, if you ignore that part.
And marry a soldier like today.
Which worked out for all of us.
Yeah, so that was fun. Anyway, so Sammy, you're not going to do that, what I did in the desert.
I feel like Avi would be down.
Avi would be down. That. Rusty was just telling me when he was younger, he went on a trip, like a survivalist 30-day trip. Like much younger in high school, one of his high school friends. And
did he like it?
He says it was very memorable. They had to like figure out how to like make a tent and like mosquito net and all this stuff alone.
Reminds me of the Office episode of like Survivor Man.
That's exactly what I was thinking, imagining it.
He's there for like 2 hours.
But now he has like these skills. He's like, we had to live on like powdered foods and whatever. I was like, that's crazy.
I could sort of see you guys turning into survivalists. Like
me?
At a bunker.
Totally. Yeah.
If you had a bunker, like a just in case bunker with like canned foods and stuff. That's totally. If the end of the world is near, I would go to Aileen's. I feel like she would be prepared more than many others.
I feel unprepared.
Do you have a go bag?
No.
We have a go bag, like a like a few supplies.
Oh, I don't even know where like a flashlight is.
Do you know where are you going to go?
It's not aliens. Really like a go bag.
I'm coming
bag.
Over. Yeah. I hope you got enough for four. For five.
I don't know
for
if I have enough beans
for you. Really.
No more dogs. Sorry.
Okay. The only things that are really that I'm aware are in it are like a battery that is solar powered. So you could charge your phone, like an external battery that you could use to charge stuff if the power's out. And then a straw that filters dirty water into drinkable water.
Oh, that's cool.
Those are the things we have. And maybe there's some other stuff like a first aid kit, but like we have that just for like having anyway. But cash. Yeah, those are the things. I don't know if there's, I assume.
Under the mattress?
Bobby probably doesn't want to tell me. He's going to use it.
You can't, yeah. You also shouldn't like announce that you have cash in your
apartment. No, I'm not,
on a podcast.
I don't think we do. Yeah, I don't think we do. But honestly, like, yeah, Avi used to be more like down for roughing it. And he would have been like full camp back in the day. But now I think he's more.
You've changed him?
I think I've changed him a little. Like his expectations have raised.
Is he now in the finer things club?
No, he's not in the finer things club at all. But he is. He can appreciate it. You know.
Okay, Aileen, do you have a bunker?
I don't have a bunker. No, I'd like one.
Yeah, I'll bring the straw.
I can't rough it. I'm not a rougher. I actually went hiking this morning, but I did.
This morning.
This one time I had a panic attack. I started getting claustrophobic. I thought all the roots that were coming out of the ground were snakes, and I just like sort of lost my mind.
Were you high?
No. I was drunk. Very sober. I was
shitting in the desert.
Scared. I was scared. I was scared out of my mind. But
maybe I won't come over if there's, if there's an apocalypse. I don't think our energies would mesh in an apocalypse.
I don't think so either. I want to be with Rusty, won't we, if we're surviving. Not me. You don't want to be with me. You want to be with Rusty.
That's fair. We'll take
it. Abby and I were actually talking. We were like having dinner with our friends a few weeks ago. We were talking about like the apocalypse. What would you do? And our friends were saying like, well, it would just be better to just go in the initial blast rather than like struggle to survive and then probably just die shortly after.
I feel that.
And I thought that was an interesting point. So,
I think about that all the time.
Just another, yeah.
Well, do you remember at the end of Don't Look Up, at the end where they all died, Aileen and I feel like, Sammy, you were out that week and we were discussing it. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, and it's so sad at the end. I'm like, why is it so sad? Everyone's dead. There's no one to be sad
for. I remember that conversation. I don't remember if I was part of it, though.
You were, I think you were out that day.
I don't remember what I said. I thought it was really sad.
It was.
It wasn't sad because they were all dying. Well, let's not talk about this.
Anyway, I kind of agree. I would go in the initial blast. I just don't have the energy.
Right. Like, I wouldn't
just
even
too
be
burnt
able
out
to survive.
Survive.
Even the emotional toll it would take would just be too great. Even if you had, like, all the means to survive, you lose.
You also don't know what you're trying to survive.
Amazing to survive for. Right.
How do we get into this?
How do we get here?
The desert.
Okay, so if there's an apocalypse, I guess we're all going our separate ways and hopefully we can podcast from remotely from wherever we wind up.
Get your solar battery and things might be okay.
I would be so unprepared. I don't know.
Yeah, you would.
Anyway. Don't come here. I don't have any supplies.
You guys would just like have candy and like just, salmon.
Just refreshing Facebook looking for news articles.
Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning, and that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable. And it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepies Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold-over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft, custom-milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose, their zip footy pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES. Let's talk about what's new in the celebrity news. What's going on?
Can we talk about this Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie thing? Because it is quite a feisty story.
I know. It's very wild. Who wants to give the details?
Okay. So Angelina Jolie has been revealed as the plaintiff in the FBI lawsuit against Brad Pitt. The lawsuit is from 2016 following the airplane assault incident, which is right before she filed for divorce. The new report says that subjects of the lawsuit in which the plaintiff alleges being assaulted by her then husband on a private plane were in fact Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. According to the report, several years ago, Jolie told an FBI agent that Pitt physically and verbally assaulted her and their children when they were aboard the plane. And Variety says that, per the agent's notes at that time, Pitt allegedly took Jolie to the back of the plane, grabbed her shoulders, and shouted things like, "You're fucking up this family." Jolie alleged that on the same flight, another physical altercation occurred, which caused her to sustain injuries, including on her elbow. She also said that Pitt was drinking at the time and had poured beer on her. And other things I read in a different, I think I read it on a People article, are that there was like she's also said there's like $25,000 in damage to the plane. A lot of it was like wine stains, and he damaged the plane by like punching the roof of it or something.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy. This is it's funny because I feel like at the time this came out, it was like not that big of a news story. But then you see something like the elevator story and you're like the Beyonce Solange Knowles elevator story. And that was the biggest, it was all anyone could talk about.
I think because there was footage.
Yeah.
I guess.
And it was at the Met Gala.
Brad Pitt says that he denies fully that he hit his kid. He does say that he had his hands on their kid, but only because the kid was in the way and he was trying to move them or something like that. He didn't hit their face. I don't remember which kid it was. And also Brad Pitt's sober since this too. So I'm sure a lot has to do with the alcohol and all of that stuff. But so what do you guys think about this?
I just think it's so crazy that they had this insane private plane ride from France to, I think it was New York. So it's a long flight. And it makes me think about all the background stuff that must have been happening to lead up to this breaking point moment of this huge fight on the plane in front of their kids. For such a long flight, it's also such a long flight to be trapped with people that you are fighting with in potentially physical altercation. This must have been a really a plane ride from hell. I really wish that, I don't know, we had even more details on it. What was happening leading up to this plane ride that it got to this point where this was all happening?
He must have been drinking.
You know, when they made that movie, it's something with the By the Sea. Just By the Sea is what it's called.
Okay. Nothing, yeah, By the Sea. Okay.
Just By the Sea. That was the name of a movie. What year was it? That was actually 2015. So, and that didn't really do well. But anyway, irrelevant to this.
Maybe that's why he's mad it didn't do well.
I feel like it was deeper than that.
For sure. Anytime I hear this kind of stuff, and the fact that it gets to this point, you think back to the beginning of I recently watched Mr. and Mrs. Smith because that's kind of where they met, allegedly. And it's just that right after they have this romance and he leaves his wife, John Ann, and for this woman, and they are so hopeful, and then you know how it ends, and it's that part is so fucking sad. And there's a public divorce. You would never think that these two would have that, right?
I feel like it's actually not as public of a divorce as you would imagine this divorce to be. I feel like there are, besides this plane ride, I haven't heard really almost any details. I feel like they did a pretty good job of making this almost as small of an incident as it could have been, besides the fact that she actually did press charges.
And they are having legal battles that go on, and there's sometimes there's just some news that comes out about it. Recently, I think one of them won a piece of their legal battles, for what they're trying to fight for, whether it's custody or whatever. It isn't so clean and quiet.
Maybe we just don't hear about it that often.
Yeah.
It's not like front page. Like, I haven't been bombarded with articles about their divorce.
I think it's pretty clean and quiet considering that there's like a federal agents involved in this. Like,
and they're not Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Like, you think of them. Like, it should be the most high profile divorce.
This was like 6 years ago also.
Yeah. I don't.
And we're just finding out now. I think it's like they did keep this pretty well under wraps. But I remember at the time there were a lot of rumors that he was like drinking and smoking, and he like his sobriety was lack of sobriety was like leading to him having issues and altercation. So it kind of makes sense that maybe this was like the big blow up moment where she like, this is it, after being trapped on a plane for like 8 hours.
Well, he's out with a new movie like Bullet Train. And he's now since sober, and I don't know what his relationship with his like with his kids, but I saw something that says that Brad Pitt was seen and rumored to be dating M. Rada.
Is this a legend?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that for him.
I don't like that much either. I don't. Why? Because she's just kind of like a younger. She's like sort of like an Angelina of now.
I wouldn't call her the Angelina of now.
Yeah, because Emrata doesn't have like the acting chops that Angelina had early in her career.
Not that good of an actress.
She was really good in Girl Interrupted.
Angelina, yeah.
That was the only place.
I mean, that's a really good, great movie.
Good role.
Yeah. Also, I think Angelina Jolie is just a much more interesting person. A lot more like mystery there.
I think that's also because you didn't know about her at the time. Yeah, the time.
Like, there was no social media then. Like, she's a different type of celebrity, like, of a different era.
I think it's a bad idea because Emrata just got divorced, and clearly he's also still dealing with some issues, and she's much younger, and it's, again, like, another person who is very, like, a lot of baggage comes, or not even, I don't want to say baggage, but just, like, a lot comes with their name.
Baggage, like what? I think I don't mean a sex symbol. Baggage,
like, that's what I mean. Like, there's all strong associations with her already that are very particular.
And she has a very young kid. I just don't see,
yeah,
like Brad really stepping in there. I don't know. I just don't. I don't really
like
see that.
He needs someone a little older, closer to his age.
I agree. How old is Angelina Jolie? Got to be 45.
She's 47.
Yeah, someone in the 47-ish range.
He's her third marriage.
Or even just in the 40s. I think someone just in their 40s.
Guess how old Brad is?
50.
52?
58.
Oh, wow. He's a lot older than her.
60?
Yeah.
How old is Jennifer Aniston?
She's 50-something.
Yeah, she's definitely 50. I'm looking up.
Emrata is 31. 31? She's younger than us?
She's younger than us. Man, I didn't know that.
God, ew. and who are we looking up? Jennifer Aniston? 53.
Okay, so she and Brad made sense. I think Brad needs someone in their 40s at least.
Yeah, like someone of a like J-Lo-esque level.
Yeah, like J-Lo would be, if you weren't busy, you know, she'd be I think she'd be a good match, maybe.
Well, I feel like Ben Affleck and Brad have a similar match.
It's a terrible match.
Why? He's sober, just like Ben Affleck.
Then they should date.
Ben and Brad.
Why is Jennifer Aniston a good match for Brad Pitt? Like,
she's
see that
sober,
0%.
She doesn't drink.
They're both huge stars.
They're age appropriate.
0%.
I don't think that Brad Pitt and Ben Affleck are like that far off from each other.
That's why I think Ben and Jen are weird. But
it's happening. They're having their third wedding or 3-day wedding.
This weekend. We weren't invited, for anyone who was wondering, who's listening at home.
We won't be there. You won't be able to follow on our stories.
A little bit of a snub, but it's okay.
we were just cut. We were on the B list.
Yes. Yeah. Rehearsal dinner.
What details do we know about the wedding? It's 3-day intimate celebration for family and friends. It's going to kick off with a rehearsal dinner on Friday. The actual ceremony will take place on Saturday. How exciting. She's expected to wear a custom couture Ralph Lauren dress. And it's going to be covered on Vogue.
I'm over them. Can they get married and then go away? I'm like starting to get Bennifer fatigue.
Yeah, they need to go into like a little bit of a valley, and then they need to come out with something exciting. Maybe he's directing her in a new movie.
But I need to see like nothing for a month or two. I'm seeing all these pictures of like the kids and the stepkids, and I feel like they're stepping out to be seen, and it's starting to irritate me.
It's been happening. Remember, that was what bothered me about their stupid honeymoon, whatever. That was so fake.
Yeah. Well, at this point, I feel like it's dragged on for a bit too long. I'm ready. I'm moving on.
We didn't do our ick meter for the divorce, the Brangy plane divorce.
What was our last rating? I have to think of it.
We said the last thing that we were talking about was
the K-Fed.
K-Fed and Britney Spears.
What did we give it?
And we said 10 was like the ickiest of icks of all icks. And I think we gave it like a 7 because it was like a conservatorship.
Yeah. I'd give this like a 6, a 5, maybe a 5.
Which thing are you giving? What are you assigning? The story or
just the fact that like the situation is in the press and like it's revealed
Brad's alleged behavior on the plane
out and Brad, you know that he's and the children are involved and there's child abuse.
If he really did this, it's like
really spilling beer on her and screaming at her like on a plane in front of their kids. I would say that I don't think it's a 9.
If he's like physically and verbally assaulting her in front of their children on a plane ride in Paris, I kind of give that a 9. That's like physical abuse in front of the kids.
9 is very high. 9 is like R. Kelly. R. Kelly's 10. Fine. R. Kelly's 10. But like, I don't think this is right below that.
I think that the Britney Spears thing, the fact that like the kids are filming it, then the dad is posting it, like that to me is ickier than the fact that like this is being done through like legal channels.
I'm talking about the situation itself, not like the legal thing. I'm talking about like if he actually...
I think that's part of the situation.
I mean...
It's not like they're fighting in the media. They're not fighting. To me, right. Like that's less icky.
No, I know. I think that makes the whole situation less icky. The way it's been handled is less icky. But the image to me of him like doing this on the plane, if that situation is true, that to me is like a 9. Like that fight is a 9.
Yeah.
Think about it from the perspective of the children.
Brad Pitt is, I just feel like he has a really good reputation. So it's especially icky to hear it about him because I feel like people think of him favorably, generally speaking.
Even despite the fact that he left Jen-Ann for Angelina.
I wonder what's
happened with Jen-Ann and Brad since their photo at the Oscars.
I don't know, but Jen-Ann just posted that she's on vacation with Jason Bateman and his wife. It was really...
Three of them?
I don't know. I don't know who the fourth is.
I like Jason Bateman.
I love Jason Bateman. Anyway.
Jen Madison?
Yeah. Her private equity boyfriend.
Who's Jen's man?
For years, I've been using men's razors because the quality of razors for women is seriously questionable. But disposable men's razors feel like settling. I finally tried the Athena Club razor I've been seeing online, and it was truly the easiest, smoothest shave ever. My old razors, honestly, they would rust up so quickly, and the shave I would get was so dull. My legs would get super dry. It would just be like an uncomfortable razor experience. But this razor is truly worth the hype. If you haven't tried it, you really need to give it a shot. Step up your shaving game now with Athena Club's award-winning razor kit. It's seriously the best on the market, and here's why. First of all, the Athena Club razor kit is an absolute steal at just $10. But don't let the price fool you. This razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and 2 super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. You also get a game-changing magnetic hook in the razor kit for easy storage. This means no sitting your razor on the edge of your tub, no more goopy blades, no more razor falling down your shower floor in the middle of the night. Athena Club's razor glides effortlessly thanks to those 5 precision-engineered blades. The blades are perfectly spaced out to let your hair pass through with each stroke, and you'll experience less irritation, which is always a win in my book. Are you ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code BETCHES at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years, and nothing has transformed my life quite as much as my therapy experience. And one of the things that I love about therapy is that it gives me all the tools I need to figure out how to manage my time. And also figuring out what depletes me, what gives me energy. Sometimes too much socializing depletes me. So I've learned how to manage the amount of time that I'm going out versus staying in, the amount of new people I'm meeting versus making sure I have that me time for myself. And that's definitely a skill that I've honed in therapy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Betches today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Betches.
Okay, so back to Ben Lowe, Baffleck, Jaffleck. So yeah, they're getting married, whatever. Next.
Okay. Can we talk about Homeless, Not Toothless?
Yes.
I was crying last night. I was crying last night when Kathy goes, I've worked with the homeless. I've worked with the toothless.
I didn't actually watch last night.
I didn't either.
Watch the one from two weeks ago. No.
Last night it got even more crazy. Kathy was going on about it, making fun of it to everyone. And then she was going a little more crazy. She was like, homeless, toothless, homeless, toothless, homeless, toothless. She was just like going on about it to like whispering it in Garcelle's ear. She was literally, it was really bizarre.
I'm excited to watch that.
I think it is a very weird name for a
They call it out. Like, the name's not great.
Why did they change it?
Doreen's like, it's an amazing word.
Also, like, I also just don't know if like that's the first thing that I would make the biggest impact for the homeless community. Maybe in certain circumstances, I guess.
So
I don't know.
Dental, like, it really affects your health. Like, you could really.
Right.
You need access to
hygiene. He's like, we're giving them a whole new smile. Like, do they, I don't know.
That affects their like opportunity for jobs.
I actually think dental work for people who are homeless is a great cause. The name really undermines, and the fact that they're throwing like a dinner that's more expensive than a set of veneers to raise money for one set of veneers. Like, yeah, there's so everything around it is so wrong. But the idea, I actually think dental work is actually huge because like you just said, it really affects your teeth. If your teeth are not healthy, it affects your other health. And then also it really is about like presentation. I think it is kind of impossible for people to get a job or like hold a job if they don't have.
Okay, that makes sense.
So the cause,
I stand corrected.
Good cause, but everything else about it.
Good cause, bad name. No, but I mean, like, that whole dinner was insanely ridiculous. Mauricio was like
Melissa
cuddling
Etheridge.
With PK. Melissa Etheridge comes up.
What does she charge for an appearance?
She's singing a song about come through my window. Meanwhile, Dorit was just robbed in that house.
I didn't even think of that. That's a great point.
And then PK gets up instead of doing a speech about the charity, he's talking about Melissa's, like how hard it was to get Melissa to come. And how many Emmys, Grammys.
He's patting himself on the back for getting her.
Just patting him on the back. It was just, Tariq's yelling at him about the lights. Bravo editing, when they were like, kept panning to the two women from the charity and they were just
looking.
It was so, and then the beginning of this episode, you guys should see it. They literally go, you guys can go. Literally, that's what they say to them.
We're still filming, but you guys can go.
Yeah, you guys can go.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. I'm excited to watch that.
It's so.
It makes you feel better about any time you've been like yelling at someone in public, though.
Because of what?
Because it's just Lisa? Like, this seems way worse. Like, you know what I mean? When you get into a fight with someone and you're like in a public place and you're like trying to control yourself. No one's ever done that. I don't know.
I mean, definitely had like some harsh words in public, for sure.
Sometimes my blood starts to boil in public. But anyway, Lisa was going crazy. I wasn't sure.
I mean, this
is front
of the whole
real.
Of anybody who wants to watch. Yeah, Lisa's crying was very, very dramatic. And she just started like screaming across the room and then transforms into like crying.
Yeah, I thought it was a little bit of a, like a cop out.
It was a little bit of a soap opera move.
Right. It was like, let me just shut this whole thing down. And I don't know.
She's been annoying me.
I
feel bad that she lost her mom, but she doesn't like.
She seems to use it like strategically, which I don't find to be genuine.
I don't know. Anyway, I think this episode was kind of funny. Like, nothing really happens, but I like get sick of like Housewives when they just like every other scene is just them sitting down to like have a forced argument. Like, okay, what can we talk about now and fight about now? And then Kyle just like, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And they just like yell. And it's just so, it's like, what are you even talking about? I do not care. The best parts are really like Kathy saying really bad shit in this episode. I know Kathy just is in trouble for like.
When are they going to Aspen?
Next.
Okay.
Been waiting for that. Yeah.
Why?
Because that's when the big fight is.
Oh, with Kathy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I need to see Kyle like get into some shit. I feel like she's just like, she's coasting off of everyone else's drama. I need to see her like get into
it. Been many years of that.
Yeah, I'm excited. But anyway, so toothless, not homeless. I mean, homeless, not toothless.
It's a great charity.
All right. Should we talk about Kanye? Have you guys seen his, speaking of toothless, not homeless, have you seen his Gap?
Yeah.
I saw that stuff. It's very much like, I don't know.
Derelict?
Yeah, it's very much derelict. I feel like Derelict is about Kanye West, even though it came before him.
Basically, Kanye posted on Instagram writing that he looks to the homeless as the biggest inspiration for all design. And then Yeezy Gap campaign was sold in the stores out of these massive trash bags. And it just looks like garbage because it is.
Well, like they basically merchandise the stores on purpose to make you, not only are the sweatshirts displayed in garbage bags, but they're not folded. You have to like dig through. That's part of the charm. And also these store associates were instructed like not to help you. Like you just have to like find it yourself.
And it says,
why Gap?
When it was being sold on display in stores in actual trash bags, because Kanye reportedly got mad that his clothes were on hangers.
Why is Gap agreeing to this?
I mean, we're talking about them, so something's working.
Yeah,
I'm
think
a little
about
bit
it.
Intrigued. I won't lie. I'm a little bit intrigued. If I were walking by a Gap and I had nothing better to do, I would walk in and go see these trash bags because I just want to see what is happening.
I think the whole thing, this whole thing seems kind of icky. I don't know. I don't like, was he like glamorizing homelessness?
Or? Well, that's what people are criticizing him issue, for fetishizing homeless people. To me, like if you think about it from like the next level up, like is he making some sort of like statement about like fashion and how it's actually just all garbage, which to me, this is actually kind of smart. If he's not actual, but then he's like selling it. Like it's not an art installation.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right. He also is saying that he's doing it because he gets all his design inspiration from the homeless. And it's like, okay, so then maybe pay them. If that's the, you know, maybe make them not homeless.
Or price price it so they can afford it.
Yeah. Like you're right. Like there's an inconsistency between the making money off of it and the inspiration. Right.
It seems exploitative almost.
Yes.
It's all $300.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
It's almost taking someone's like very real pain or discomfort and you're now like glamorizing it and making money off of it.
It's all of the proceeds should go to homeless, not toothless, but not to any dinners, only to the teeth.
No, but it is straight out of Zoolander. Like this is literally Zoolander. And I just don't see how it's not. Is Kim Kardashian Derek Zoolander? I guess she's not the model.
Not anymore.
I feel like Bella and Gigi are like Derek and what's his name? The other one, Owen Wilson. One's blonde, one's brunette.
I kind of see it.
What was the other guy's name? What was Owen Wilson's name?
Hansel.
Hansel. Han Solo.
Hansel.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Gigi.
That's such a good movie.
I would watch that. Good. Orange Mocha Frappuccinos.
Well, technically, this Gap collaboration, you said like, why Gap? This collaboration was done with the creative director of Balenciaga, which is very interesting.
And interesting like because like, Kim has become the face of Balenciaga.
It's just too much for me to wrap my head around.
High fashion.
I can't believe these Crocs are $630.
The Balenciaga high-heeled Crocs. Yeah, like, it's so, you know, wait.
Sort of looks like you're wearing a golf tee upside down.
Yeah.
Oh, you know who wore those in that play, in the play that we saw, POTUS?
Oh, yeah. Oh, the
Vanessa Williams was wearing them.
Yeah. Yeah, that was funny.
So, okay, so let's do a would you rather. Would you rather wear a Balenciaga dress made out of actual trash bags or wear Balenciaga's high-heeled Crocs.
The high-heeled Crocs, they look very comfortable.
Yeah, I'd probably wear the high-heeled
Crocs. Do they look very comfortable?
They look like the Crocs are comfortable, and then these are just like a little heel.
They look like you're going to turn your heel. But I need to see the Balenciaga trash bag dresses, and where am I going?
Who's buying these Crocs?
I don't know, like nurses who have an event later.
The worst part about it is that actually nurses all, like, can't sold wear out. Crocs. Notify me.
Because they're like collectible, I think. I think it's more about like getting it for because you got it. Not, I don't know where you're wearing it.
I mean, the crazy thing about Kanye, if you think about it, like his Yeezys shoes that he did a collaboration with like Adidas. And those are crazy. Like people are still buying those. They have wild resale value. And
those are more wearable, like infinitely more wearable
than his sweatshirts.
No, I mean than the Balenciaga. No,
forget the Crocs. I mean
the
Gap stuff. Like, I mean, he's trying to do the same thing.
Well, the other thing I think with sneakers, there is like sneaker culture.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that became like kind of an easier market to get into. Because people are already into collectible sneakers.
Anyway, I'm not buying his fucking sweatshirt. So let me know how it is if you go. But I would really like to see one of those bags in person.
Right. That's why I want to go look.
Is it at every mall? Is it at every Gap?
I don't know. If I walk by one, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Around the office, we have so many colorful framed art prints and photos. It creates such a fun atmosphere, and it gives our space that unique Betches character. I wanted to frame some stuff at home too, but custom framing can be so difficult and so expensive. So the things I want to display end up collecting dust in a closet. But Framebridge makes it easy and affordable to get your special artwork and memories in frames so you can spice up your space with ease. I love Framebridge. I framed my ketubah for my wedding. The process was unbelievably easy. They send you a canister to send in your artwork. They send you a few different options of ways that they can frame it. You get to pick. They're actually helping me also design the frame that works best with the picture and best for my home. And getting custom frames can be difficult. Framebridge is easy and affordable to custom frame just about anything. You can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a retail store if you need some guidance. You can also upload a digital photo for them to print or mail your item in using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Then Framebridge custom frames your piece in the studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com. Ready to redefine your relationship with alcohol? Whether you're trying to cut back or just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet, fruity sours? Athletic Brewing has an assortment of non-alcoholic beers in almost any style you can think of. One thing I really like is a great Sunday brunch. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want to have a drink during it. But also it's Sunday and you kind of want to get your life together. That's the perfect occasion to have an Athletic Brew non-alcoholic beer. Athletic brews a variety of great-tasting, award-winning non-alcoholic beers, including IPAs, Goldens, Extra Dark Brews, Sours, Hazies, and more, many of which are only available online and for a limited time. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brews Bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. And when you support Athletic, you support a company that cares. They're a certified B Corp and donate up to $2 million annually to protect and restore outdoor spaces around the globe through the Two for the Trails program. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code BETCHES to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's BETCHES. At checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So, guys, are you watching any good TV?
Watching Stranger Things. Still. I'm up to the current season, though. It's so scary.
That's what I hear.
It got scarier than the previous seasons, but it's very good. I'm like now intrigued with the actors who are playing all the kids who are now adults.
Yeah.
I have a question for you guys. Good debate. Because Mike and I were debating this and we're still not on the same page. And I would like to take a poll and I think it would lead to a bigger conversation. So we were talking about, we were watching Stranger Things and he's like, oh, like, I'm like talking about Winona Ryder and he's like, what else is she in? I'm like, oh, she's in so much stuff. She's a 90s icon. And he's like, no, she's not. And so then we were debating, is Winona Ryder an icon? I say yes. He says no. What do you guys think?
In the 90s, she was in everything, yeah.
But not today.
100%.
He doesn't think she's a 90s icon.
Maybe because he's a boy.
He wouldn't have watched those movies that she's in.
Yeah.
She's like in Heathers, right? Like that's... That was her, yeah, like, and it's not just 90s. I think it's like
Beetlejuice,
80s.
80s and 90s.
80s.
Girl Interrupted.
Yeah, Girl Interrupted. She was really big, but it's not his type of movies.
What do you think defines an icon?
Somebody who's in movies that are iconic.
I don't think it's necessarily about like one thing. Like I don't think it's necessarily about like being the most famous. For example, like Karen Huger is iconic on Bravo, but not everyone in the world knows who like Karen Huger is or cares. But it's about like them being memorable for a particular thing. Like you could be an icon, I think, in one particular thing without being like Beyonce iconic.
I also think it's like a scale, right? It's a spectrum. So it's like not all icons are as iconic. You can be an icon,
but
be less of an icon than someone else.
Right, like Beyonce is more iconic than Karen Huger.
Yeah, like true icons, like Beyonce, I would say is like the most iconic person we have maybe on Earth.
100 on the icon scale.
Yeah. Icon scale.
Yeah.
Well, I think 100 on the icon scale is like this person will be remembered throughout history. I don't know 100. Do you think she's 100 Winona? On the icon? Like Elvis Presley is like 100 probably, because like it's hard to tell
and
exactly how
being
long
made about him.
Their legacy will be. Like Princess Diana, I'd give her like a 95.
100. No, Princess Diana's.
I don't know. I want to see in like two generations if anyone actually cares.
I think she is.
The
I
amount
think
of movies
she's
and shows that are about Diana are like more than others.
I was about to actually bring up when you asked, are you watching anything? There's a brand new HBO documentary about Diana, which is literally just about our relationship to Diana.
Okay, maybe she's, even maybe
like,
she's 100.
Like, there's
then.
Nothing that
groundbreaking. She's 100.
I'm trying to watch it. I was like, I don't see anything new or groundbreaking in this. If you are a Diana fan, you already know all this information. You've seen these clips. So I think she's 100.
Okay.
Obama's 100.
To be on the scale, though, you have, like, what's a one? Like, you're on the scale, but you're very low. Is it Karen Huger?
I think it's Karen Huger.
It's like,
it's totally
Heidi
Karen Huger.
Vicky Gunvalson?
Heidi and Spencer.
Okay. So they're iconic. They're a one on the. What about
maybe
Winona Ryder?
To 100 is too.
I wouldn't call
fast.
Heidi and Spencer iconic. No.
They're iconic for like that early.
No, no.
Well, what would you give Winona Ryder?
I would call like Laguna Beach. Like an iconic show.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't call Heidi and Spencer. They suck. I mean, they're kind of funny.
Right.
He's funny now on TikTok, but like.
Fine. Laguna Beach, I would give like a 5 on the icon scale.
Are we doing 1 out of 100?
Yeah.
100 is too many.
That's too many numbers.
What would you give Winona Ryder?
Let's do 1 to 10.
Can we do 1 to 10, please?
Fine.
And 10 means 100. So let's give them like 10s.
That points are the each number is a point.
How iconic is Winona Ryder?
I'd give her like a 50. Like,
a 5 out of 10?
Yeah, like a 5. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, why did we do 100? Yeah.
Because I feel like it gives you more room for...
It's too much room.
Too much room?
Let's do 5. 10 and we'll do points if you feel like...
5,
you need to
5,
give it a
icon. I think she's a 5.
I think she's a 5.
There's also like people who are like famous, but like have iconic moments. Like for example, the Will Smith, very famous. I wouldn't say he's an icon, but nah, he's famous. You can't.
Right. That's true.
Like, but that moment was like very memorable.
I wouldn't call that moment iconic. I would call
because it wasn't positive.
Think about Taylor Armstrong's cat meme. That's an iconic meme. But Taylor Armstrong is not iconic.
Would you give her a 1?
I would give the meme.
Is she even on the scale?
Like,
is she a 1?
She is not on the scale at all.
No.
I would give the meme like a 3.
No way.
The meme.
a one.
I'd give it a one. I don't think it's going to last that long.
Okay, yeah, no, okay, we're thinking shit. Lasting. Okay, fine. The meme can be how it
wants. It's not even iconic. It's just a viral meme.
That's a very, very, very
There's nothing meme. Iconic about
what,
that.
What would you give Al Gore?
Al Gore?
Al Gore's inventor of the internet.
Like a 1.3. Like
Thomas Edison.
What an icon.
I don't think you could...
He has staying power, historical. He's on the bill. If you're on the bill, I feel like you at least get an A. An eight. Is he on the bill?
Which bill?
He's not on the bill. I think you're thinking Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin's on a bill. Sorry.
Thomas
Edison was the inventor
guy. Franklin's like a nine. I think. What is he missing? Hamilton, because he has the play, is a nine.
Yeah, he was an iconic before the play.
Yeah, before that, way less than.
Okay, but once you have a play and the tickets were $5,000 a piece. You're iconic. Like
Picasso, iconic.
Totally.
Ten. Nine.
Iconic.
Ten.
Banksy.
We have to see.
Four.
We have to see. I think we have to see.
Picasso, he's like the name that people, like you say, think of an artist, you think of Picasso. Like you don't think of anybody else.
Van Gogh. Okay. So who's a four, you just said?
She said Banksy.
Throwing so you're saying your Banksy is below Winona Ryder.
Maybe Winona Ryder is not.
Yeah. Winona's been around for way longer.
Yeah, but that's just only a matter of when.
But Mike barely knew who he was. I feel like you have to be
Who Banksy
almost,
was?
No, Mike barely knew who Winona Ryder was. Like, didn't know that much of what she was in.
That's just
I don't
Mike's
think she's
situation.
Gonna be long term iconic. I think Winona Ryder, she is a '90s icon, but on the total global icon scale, in reality, I don't
not
think
huge.
She's a five. I think she's really more like a. If we're recalibrating this,
she's
scale,
a
she's more
two.
Like a, two, three, two and a half.
Yeah. Andy Cohen.
I think he could be a five. We have to see. We have to see what happens with
him. He's transformed reality TV. I would give him a six.
We have to see what happens with him.
Anyway.
We have so many new scales.
Britney Spears.
She's
icon.
I think she's like a nine.
Yeah. She's iconic. Yeah.
Hillary Swank.
Not us on the scale.
Not an icon.
Amazing actress.
Swank
not an icon.
She's in
Meryl
good
Streep. Okay, Meryl Streep.
That's just she's just an actress. Good actress.
Not an icon. You are not an icon.
But Meryl Streep is an icon. She's like an icon.
Yeah, Meryl. Totally.
What about Lindsay Lohan?
No.
Not an icon. So Karen Huger is an icon, but Lindsay Lohan
I think Lindsay Lohan could be. I think Lindsay Lohan's like a two or three.
Karen Huger isn't actually an icon.
I'm just saying people. Okay,
she has iconic moments. In the Bravo world, if we're talking of the Bravo universe, like the BCU.
Yeah.
That Karen Huger is an icon in the Bravo universe. But if we're talking the universal scale.
Bravo has its own scale.
Right.
Okay. So an icon is defined as a person or thing widely admired, especially for having great influence or significance in a particular sphere.
In a sphere.
Yes, in a particular sphere.
Okay. That makes sense. Like Karen Huger is iconic in the Bravo sphere.
They have a strong depth of significance, as well as they generate strong responses that people are identify with or against. They are a person
polarizing.
Who is well known and who people look up to.
Definitely.
Karen Huger. Beyonce is iconic in the celebrity and music.
You could be bad iconic.
Gaga.
Iconic. Is.
So it's like you have to generate strong opinions. Is that what makes you an icon?
Just have to be very, very, very more famous and make an impact in a way of people's opinions, influence. Like she has she speaks for LGBTQ community. Like she does a lot of different stuff. Gaga. The funniest is Kanye. Do you ever watch that clip that Kanye does about Lady Gaga? That Gaga. I don't know her music. Did you see that one?
Oh my God, it's sounding familiar, actually. I also think there's something about iconicness is it is more than just they have a year or a moment or 5 years. They have phases of their career that
your grandchildren will know who they are.
Maybe, yes, but also I don't know if our grandchildren are going to know who Winona Ryder is. So you might be undermining your point.
Well, that's why she's low on the icon scale,
right? But it's more about them having evolutions in their being of a public figure that are multiple good evolutions. Like you can't be a one-hit wonder.
They have to remain relevant for a while.
Okay.
And which Winona was like iconic for the sphere of the 80s and the 90s. And the fact she got this massive role is pretty cool for her. She, right. I watched this interview of her talking about Netflix, Stranger Things, and she was, which I thought was actually a cool perspective. She was like, I never, you know, had this type of fame before. Like, I was in really big movies, but the fact that I'm in this show that's like in people's like living rooms, it, like, I have this different personal connection. Like, my character is a different personal connection with people. Whereas in, before, I would be in movie theaters and like somebody would have like one time connection with me and then they'd leave the movie, but they're constantly watching and they're watching in a living room and they're watching with their families. It's like a different type of connection, which I thought is like very interesting perspective about like TV streaming.
Yeah. Or the new nature of fame. Also, you can follow someone on Instagram, which makes you feel like you're more connected to them also. All these kids from Stranger Things have like 50 million Instagram followers. So I think it gives you a new sense of, oh, I see this person. This person's part of my life.
Yeah.
I see their updates. They're like, I'm connected to them, which obviously when Winona Ryder was in movies was not the case. All right. I'm going to ask one more question and then I think we can wrap up. Who is more iconic, Kanye West or Kim Kardashian?
Kim Kardashian.
I kind of agree.
I think Kanye could have been, but some of the moves that he made in the past 2 or 3 years outside of music and art, getting into like the political sphere, like I don't think those were good moves. I think a lot of people sort of messed up his track record as an artist.
Just because he's less iconic doesn't make him less talented.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
He's more talented.
100%.
By a long shot. And like a lot of his early music is so
definitely good. More talented.
And also just like a lot of his business moves, like the Yeezy sneakers and all of that, like big. Yeah. But
I don't think you need to be talented to be an icon.
Kim's influence, she's like one of the most, she's an influencer. Kanye is her influencer, which is kind of interesting. But
protege?
Yeah. No, the other way around. Protege. She's his protege. Like he influences her. Like all this nude stuff, like not like all the nude colors, I mean, like how she just did a beat, like her whole brand. Like she just did a Beats by Dre, a Beats collab, and it's all just like nude colors. And like that was all Kanye's idea, basically. So in that sense, it's kind of interesting to think about who's more influential because he influenced her.
She's like co-opted his influence to make it her own.
More influential to the people than he is to the people.
I think it's probably about equally likely that our grandchildren will know both their names.
I think our grandchildren, yeah.
Will know both of them.
I think Kim will be more, has made a bigger splash.
Either way, they both have North. Like North is both of their child. True. So it's kind of like, why would one be less? Because Kanye's not going to stop doing interesting things that can continue to elevate the way people think about him or do the opposite. Same with Kim. But I think, honestly, both of them have like equal potential staying power.
Yeah. But she's more iconic.
Today.
Who are we sending to? Yes, today. Who are we sending to the Cayman Islands?
Are we sending Brad Pitt? Kanye? What do we feel like?
I kind of think we have to send Brad Pitt, especially if he's really dating Amrata.
That's true. He could use a few weeks selling timeshares in the Cayman Islands to humble him.
I'd like to see it.
Yes. Flying Delta Comfort Plus.
I would love to see it. Anyway, all right. Well, that's our episode. That's it for this week's At Betches podcast. You can follow me at Aileen.
You can follow me at Jordana Abraham.
And I'm at Sammy. Please rate, review, and follow the show on Apple or Spotify. And we'll talk to you next week on the At Betches podcast.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com. Betches.